Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Talking about prayer today, and when I grew up, and I said this with the children earlier, when I grew up, I grew up saying the same prayer at the same time, and mealtime it was always, God is great, God is good, now we thank him for our food. Like that was the prayer. There were no alternative words. That was it. That was the way you prayed at dinner. Now, I grew up in a house where I didn't necessarily pray at bedtime. So the only prayer that I had in my vocabulary, at least outside of church, was that one. God is great, God is good. Now we thank him for our food. Now, when I went to church, of course, we did the Lord's Prayer. And as one who said the Lord's Prayer a lot because I went to church a lot, but also who, well, I had a tendency for my mind to wander, the Lord's Prayer for me became sort of the repetitive words that you say while you're thinking about, you know, that next math assignment or what's going to happen in school the following week or that really, really cute girl. That's just the way that was for me. I don't know if that's how prayer has ever been for you, but for me, growing up in my sort of adolescence, like, that's how that was for me. When I got a little bit older, I began thinking about, well, maybe prayer can be more than that. And especially when I had an understanding that God was calling me to be a pastor, I got a little uptight because I understood that, like, if you're a pastor, then people expect you to pray. People expect you to pray in church and at meetings and on hospital beds. And I felt scared because I realized, well, like, how do you pray? Like, what's the magic prayer formula? There's not one, by the way. Like, if you've asked that question too, like, there's not that magic prayer formula. Now, my background is in engineering, particularly software engineering. So, like, I wanted a formula. I wanted, all right, first there's section A, and then there's section B, and then there's section C. Like, I wanted that. And for some folks, there's that. But maybe it doesn't have to be limited. Does that make sense? Maybe it doesn't have to be limited to a formula. There are lots of formulas. Excuse me, out there. There are lots of people who might teach us how to pray. And those are all good things. And, like, we don't have to be limited by those things either. Like, I believe that we all have a unique and individual relationship with God. And so if you believe that too, then maybe we can come to an agreement that as many unique and individual relationships as there are with God, like, there's at least that many ways to pray. Now, one way that we might take some guidance as a sort of jumping off point, a starting point, I like to do this in most things anyway, is to start with Scripture. And remember, even the disciples, those who had been hanging out with Jesus for quite a while, they came to Jesus and said, wow, we need some help with this prayer thing. Please help us. Help us to pray like John the Baptist did. Help us to pray like other people do because we feel like they do it pretty well and we need to learn. I wonder if they were feeling insecure. I wonder if they were feeling this draw to be in communication with God, but not really sure how to do it. And so that's when Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke, teaches them how to pray. And so I think that'll be a good starting off point for us. So in a second, I'm going to ask Scott to start the Scripture, but I'm also going to invite those of us who are going to come up and say the Lord's Prayer in another language. I'm going to invite you to go ahead and come up now and just stand right up here at the front. I'm going to get, I've got this wireless mic here. So Scott, I'm going to invite you to come up and start, and Scott knows where to stop, and when he stops, we've got some folks who are going to give us some additional languages.
Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Jesus told them, when you pray, say,
Vater unser im Himmel, geheiligt werde dein Name, dein Reich komme, dein Wille geschehe, wie im Himmel, so auf Erden. Unser tägliches Brot gib uns heute und vergib uns unsere Schuld, wie auch wir vergeben unseren Schuldigern. Und führe uns nicht in Versuchung, sondern erlöse uns von dem Bösen. Denn dein ist das Reich und die Kraft und die Herrlichkeit in Ewigkeit. Amen.
Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos, santificado sea tu nombre. Vénganos tu reino, se haga tu voluntad como en la tierra, así también como en el cielo. El pan nuestro de cada día, dánosle hoy y perdona nuestras deudas, así como nosotros perdonamos a nuestros deudores. No nos dejes caer en tentación, mas líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, el poder y la gloria por todos los siglos. Amén.
Отче наш, сущий на небесах, явится имя Твое, да придет царство Твое, да будет воля Твоя и на земле, как на небе. Хлеб наш насущный дай нам на сей день, и прости нам на долги наши, как и мы прощаем должникам нашим. И не веди нас в искушение, но избавь нас от лукавого, ибо Твое есть царство и сила и слава во веки.
Аминь. 愿人都尊你的名为圣，愿你的国降临，愿你的旨意行在地上，如同行在天上。我们日用的饮食，天天赐给我们赦免我们的罪，因为我们也赦免凡亏欠我们的人，不叫我们遇见试探，救我们脱离凶恶。阿门。
Those languages we started with German, went with Spanish, went with Russian, and then Cantonese. Thank you all. That was beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll continue in English.
Father, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation. He also said to them, imagine that one of you has a friend and you go to that friend in the middle of the night. Imagine saying, friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has arrived and I have nothing to set before him. Further imagine that he answers from within the house, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything. I assure you, even if he wouldn't get up and help because of his friendship, he will get up and give his friend whatever he needs because of his friend's brashness. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, whoever seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door is open. Which father among you would give a snake to your child if the child asked for a fish? If a child asked for an egg, what father would give the child a scorpion? If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
I mentioned how the Lord's Prayer got from me when I was in my sort of adolescence. It's just became this rote thing where I would think about other stuff while I said the magic words that I'd memorized. But I will also always remember a time when I was sitting up in the front next to the pastor. I was serving as a worship leader as before I was a pastor. And I heard the pastor next to me saying the Lord's Prayer in a way that surprised me. Because the pastor said it as though he meant it. And I shouldn't be surprised by that. And yet I was surprised by that. And I said to him after the service, I really appreciated that. And he says, you have to mean it. You can't just say it. And it was a really wonderful experience for me. And to this day, when I say, or today we'll sing the Lord's Prayer, I feel like I have to mean it when I say it or when I sing it. Like I have to be emotionally invested. One of the other things that stands out to me about that scripture, near the end, as Jesus is talking to the disciples, to the followers, he says, he talks about how God responds. And I believe that too. I believe God responds to our prayers. And I like the illustration, because I'm a parent, I like the illustration where Jesus says, listen, if a child asks for a fish, like what parent would give the child a snake? If the child asks for an egg, what parent would give the child a scorpion? But here's what I find interesting in that. It doesn't say in there that if we ask for a scorpion, we're going to get a scorpion, right? Let's put that in modern context. If my 8-year-old asks for a Corvette, it's not going to happen. Because as that child's parent, I feel like I have a good idea of what's right for him. I believe that God responds to our prayers. But I also believe that with God's greater vision and understanding, that when we ask for something that could, in the long run, be harmful for us, then maybe God's answer might be, hey, I think you need to think about something else. Or flat out, no. Or when the timing isn't right, well, like maybe a Corvette's not right for you now, but maybe when you're 25 and can pay for your own insurance. But I believe that God responds to us. Like, I think that's an important thing for us to remember. I really believe that. In my own prayer life, I think God has responded. I'm going to ask you all a question, and I want you to think about it just for a little bit, because I'm going to come out and receive your responses. I've got that same handheld mic, and I'd like for you in a few minutes, you've got some time to think, if a few of you might be willing to talk a little bit about how prayer has had power for you. Like it might be how, some people I've heard talk about how prayer has changed their life. But maybe prayer may have changed your perspective on something or given you a new outlook or a positive way to consider something in your life. Like, just think about that for a second, about how prayer has changed you or been positive for you. For me, prayer has been both life-giving and terrifying. But I don't think that we always have to think about prayer as the way where, you know, you say the big words or you say the right particular words or the same words. I believe that when the choir brings an anthem every week, that that's a prayer. Like, I really do. I think even when we start out and our pianist and organist are playing some introductory music to sort of help us be in the spirit of worship, I believe that's a prayer. I believe when our ushers distribute the friendship pads, that that can be an expression of prayer. I don't know if you notice this, if you notice that I do this every single week, but after we do our prayers of the community and it comes the offering time, maybe you've noticed that one of the things that I say as the ushers pass the plates is we continue in the spirit of prayer as the ushers pass these plates around. I think that act of receiving the offering is an act of prayer. I believe when we leave this place and go out into the world that that's an act of prayer. I believe we have, like, we can learn from each other about expressions of prayer, about ways to pray. I think our scripture is certainly the key place to start with anything in our lives and when it comes to how to pray. And I would also say this, like, I believe God is still speaking. I believe that God speaks in this place every single week, and it's not necessarily when I'm talking. I believe that God continues to speak to us all in beautiful and meaningful ways. And one of the most profound things that I have ever heard about how to pray happened up here on this platform. And again, I wasn't the one speaking, but one of our youth. If you remember when Jacob Cayetano, a year, 2 years ago, came up and talked about how he learned to pray at Sierra Service Project. He said such meaningful and profound things, and one of the things that he said that especially stood out to me, like that I still hang on to, is he said when you pray, like it's important to, you know, be thankful to God, talk to God about what it is that you need, but he said you always have to include two words. Those words are so that. In other words, when you pray, when you give thanks to God, when you offer your needs to God. Like, it's also important to say, like, what are you going to do with it? Like, dear God, I think you're amazing and you have this great power and yet, you know, I'm in need. And so, God, here's what I need. And I need this so that I can be transformed and be your person in the world, your hands, your feet in the world. Like if we don't have a so that, if we don't live as though prayer transforms us, then like what is our prayer for? And it was an amazing moment when I heard this, what was he, 16, 17 years old at the time? Teaching me, this guy who'd been has a master's degree in divinity, something new about prayer is amazing. And I think we can all learn things from each other. I was at a conference this past week, and one of the speakers who had a book that I have really enjoyed, I just got back on Friday, and I'm already reading this book. It's called Talking with God. The author's name is Adam Weber. And one of the things he highlights about prayer, our prayer is not to God. Our prayer is with God. And that word makes a difference. In fact, that word makes all the difference. Our prayer must be with God. Think of this in this way, and keep in mind that I'm coming from a perspective of, you know, I very often talk about God as the full triune expression of God, the God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit is how we sometimes talk about the Trinity. So very often when I talk about God, I talk about God in that way. Yet when we think about the Trinity, Jesus is a full part of that Trinity. We might remember that Jesus in the 15th chapter of John is talking to his disciples at the Last Supper. And he says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Well, if Jesus is both completely separate but also fully God, if Jesus is fully God, does that mean that we can call God our friend? Then, what kinds of conversations can we have with God? With whom we have that kind of friendship relationship. I'm not saying that God is only friend, that God doesn't have authority and power. I think that we also have to look at God that way. But when we talk with God, can we have those raw and vulnerable conversations that we would only trust with a friend? Can we, when we're in prayer, when we have those conversations with God, can we say the really raw and bare feelings that we have in a way that's trusting and vulnerable and authentic to who we are? Can we pray in that way? When we're in conversation with God, can we understand that it's not a one-way thing, right? Our conversation with someone doesn't mean we get to do all the talking and they get to do all the listening. A conversation with God means that we have to listen too. We have to mean our prayers. We have to be in conversation with God. We have to be our authentic selves, who we are, and all the wonderful ways that we are who we are, and all the hurtful and vulnerable ways that we are. Not hurtful, hurt. Sometimes the broken ways that we are. We need to really be authentic in the ways that we share those things with God. And we need to include those words so that when we are willing to have those raw and open conversations with God, let's include so that. So that we can be transformed, so that we can do this good work, so that we can live out our faith. Whatever that so that we feel drawn into must be included. Last year when we talked about prayer in our stewardship time, I offered a challenge to those who were there. Last year we talked about stewardship through the lens of plus one. Well, today we're doing something similar. We're calling it step up. But here's the thing. Last year, I asked all who were in worship to increase, in whatever way felt right to you, increase your prayer life. And I'm asking you to do that again. Even if you increased it last time, I'm asking you to increase it some more. If you didn't include it last time, increase it last time. If you weren't here last time, I'm asking you to increase your prayer life. Maybe that means praying at every meal, even when you're out to eat. Maybe that means praying every night before you go to bed. Maybe that means taking a particular time out of your day or out of your week to focus yourselves on that conversation with God. And here's the other thing I'd like. This isn't so much a challenge. It's just an invitation. The challenge is do this. Increase your prayer life. Step up your prayer life. As we talk about stewardship over the course of these next several weeks, as we talk about the membership commitments within the United Methodist Church, what it means to be a community of faith, to support the ministries of the church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, it is right that we start with prayer. And so as I ask you to step up your prayer life, my invitation is, right, tell me what it means for you. As you spend some time increasing your prayer life, please talk to me about how this has meaning and power for you. I think that it will. And I'd like to hear about it. Friends, we come now to a time of prayer where we will lift up prayers from this community. As is our tradition on Communion Sundays, I will sing the Lord's Prayer rather than say the Lord's Prayer. If it's a tradition you're not familiar with, don't worry, you'll be guided through how it goes. And so we join in prayer. Holy and gracious Creator, we are glad for this opportunity to be connected in this community of faith, to share our concerns and our joys, and to focus our hearts and our minds on you. Holy God, we bring all these things to you and any that are left unsaid as we join together in song, as we join in your Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us all. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And ever, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.